Manny Kumar, welcome.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, Mark made it easy, you know, asking what exactly your interests are, so we could straight jump on to the session itself. But before I jump on, I thought, one of the things I expected to hear, I didn't hear today, is, from the data itself perspective, what are the challenges, you know? The TCA is a tool to, you know, how we solve the issues around customer data and managing it, but data itself poses challenges which are very unique to the customer. And the global aspect of it and the cultural aspect of it and the languages, they pose even more challenges to it. So I did not, I was thinking some questions probably would come in that aspect here. But in any case, I think now we got a well-rounded, points that everyone is kind of looking at. What we would do is, as a foundation to today's discussion, I will go a small presentation about TCA. Customer is such a subject, I can sit and talk for 2 days on and on and on with so many different aspects of it. So given the time constraints, I would focus primarily within the TCA and the basics of that so that, for those of you who is yet to get an opportunity to learn and understand what exactly TCA stands for, this would form the opportunity. So in this session, basically, we're going to learn what a trading community architecture is and the key entities of TCA. TCA has, literally tens of hundreds of tables and entities with so many other things. But in order to understand the trading community architecture, there are core, few entities. That's what we'll focus on today. And once we had a chance to look at the entities, we'll also look at a couple of implementation approaches using TCA, which is party-centric versus site-centric approach with an example of a screenshot for one, an example customer. Myself, Mark already introduced, so probably I don't have to go much about myself. I'll just briefly talk about. I'm the founder of Rhapsody Technologies, and we've been implementing Oracle applications since 98, and of late more focused in implementing customer data management solutions, primarily using the Oracle TCA, data library, and BPM, and so on. Both as a Oracle e-business suite environment or as a separate customer standalone customer hub. One other thing is that I'm also the founder of Customer Data Management SIG, affiliated with OAUG. We have actually several members. Some of them are very active, and we have very good discussions over that forum. And I would encourage all of you to become a member of CDM SIG. By the way, how many of you are currently members here? So we have a lot, a lot of you could get benefit from that. And they're good wealth of discussions, presentations that are already there and posted on the Yahoo site. And you can get that information later on. And if you go to Yahoo groups, you can just search for CDM SIG, CDMSIG, and you'll be able to locate that. And coming back to Rhapsody itself, as I said, we not only do the implementation services, but we also provide on-site training sessions within the customer data management, including TCA. And some of you probably heard a name called Peter Pereira. He is another gentleman who is currently working on a book about customer data management, and he also given hundreds of seminars on CRM as well as customer data management. So he and I were planning to put together a 6-session web seminar within the next 3 to 4 months time frame. Those of you who are interested in that, let me know, and I can send you that details once we finalize the plans. With that, I'll move on to the trading. The question comes is, what is this trading community to do with customer? We are in the, our purpose is try to deal with the customers, and how does this term fit in there? The trading community is a term that's, used centuries ago, referring to all the entities that are involved in doing commerce, So what that means is it's a very generic term. We're not talking about the entities with whom you're selling, but also entities from whom we are buying, and every other entity that's neither selling or buying but is involved in making the transaction happen. So when you take all of this into consideration, the trading community is a more appropriate term and much more broader than the term customer itself. And the Oracle's TCA is a, attempt to basically, go beyond the customer to be able to manage all entities involved in doing commerce. And the entity could be, you know, a partner, could be a reseller, could be simply a contact or a dealer or a distributor, or merely an influencer. And typically what we see is, you know, entities employees of your organization and some contacts that you have at your customers or prospects, suppliers that you're dealing with, and the competitors as well as partners. And there are some of the entities could be playing multiple roles, you know, within the context of a transaction or commerce. And if we take a little bit more detailed look, you know, we can look at as an internal entities that are specific to your company, and external entities, they could be, you know, persons or organizations that you're dealing with. If you're in the business of selling to consumers, you're dealing primarily with persons. You know, if you're in a B2B, more of organizations, and in some cases, both are valid scenario. And a good example is like an office supply, firm that sells office supplies. They basically would be selling to everyone, you know, small kids, individuals, families, onwards to large corporations. And the interesting part that I want to point out is here, the way I drew out this, you know, a lot of times there is a definition what prospect is, what customer is, and the general convention is that a prospect is an entity with whom you are yet to do a business with, and you're trying to, you know, target them and sign them up to buy your products or services. The in reality, prospect could go a little broader than that. If you come up with a new products that you're trying to market your existing customers or new customers, you know, so an existing customer is a prospect to you in the context of the new products or services that you are trying to sell them, or if you're doing any marketing campaigns. So there is kind of, you know, a little bit of crossing over between customers and prospect definition in terms of when you look at it, and it is context dependent. Now, for all of these entities, you know, prospects or customers, at the end of the day, you have accounts, and accounts could have, you know, sites. The reason we have, you know, the entities to sites and accounts to site is that, you know, entities is something that exists whether you're doing business with them or not, and account is something, you know, that is in the context of you doing a business with that particular entity, and we'll go more details about it later on. Now, some of the interesting aspect of, you know, TCA or customer data management is that, you know, there are a lot of questions around that, and many times and it's very difficult to get answers to these questions. And if you look at, you know, a contact by name Diane Miller at XYZ Corporation, who could also be your customer, how do you treat that? You know, Diane Miller is playing two roles, a contact role and as well as a direct customer role. And in a scenario like, you know, you also probably want to know not just customers, but who your competitors are, suppliers and partners. And there are scenarios, some of your suppliers are probably competitors. And I've seen at one client, in fact, the company supplies material to one of the entity. They turn around and process those raw materials into finished goods and sell it back to the company. So that's an interesting scenario, which goes slightly in a different way. And customers have various organizational hierarchy, and they do change with all these mergers, divestitures, and you know, in downsizing. All of this affect the way the you know, the entity's organization hierarchy is there. And the change of roles. You know, somebody could be an employee today, and tomorrow probably there's a contact at a, you know, a customer or supplier, and that aspect of it. And how do we manage, you know, the customer data by definition is so dynamic and not in your control, and how do we manage all of that? And one other interesting aspect of it is that, you know, there are conglomerates who have multiple faces to the customer. You know, by that I mean they probably have a different brands, and as an end consumer may not necessarily know that all of these brands belong to the same, you know, entity or conglomerate. And when that happens, and if you're consolidating into a global single instance, you know, how do you treat that aspect of it? And cultural and geographic influences. There are hundreds of ways to write the name, depending on which country you are in, which culture you are in, the way you look at it varies. A simple example is that in some cultures, you know, when a woman gets married, she takes the you know, her parents' last name, maiden name, and the husband's last name, and combines them. And that's not there everywhere, you know. Whereas in some other cultures, we've seen that you know, the husband's last name, husband's first name becomes the last name of the person once they get married. So there are so many cultural aspects to that. How do we understand all of those, you know? And when it comes to address itself, you know, there is a different sequence the way you put it. You know, in US we put, you know, street address and then the city, state, and the zip code, but that's not exactly the sequence that you need to do in all of the countries. So these are all the challenges associated with the customer data management. And PCA is basically, you know, kind of a good start in tackling these problems. Now, within the context of Oracle applications, TCA is the foundation for the entire e-business suite, as well as when you look at it as a customer data hub. Now, a lot of times people get confused, you know, when they hear Oracle e-business suite and customer data hub, is this a separate product? You know, oh, we bought an e-business suite, do we need to buy a customer data hub? Essentially, Oracle, as they felt the need to enhance the customer data management within e-business suite, they also realized that not only e-business suite customers can use it, somebody who for some reason chose to go with other application vendors at can benefit from the robust customer structure they have built, and they extracted the portions associated with the customer and packaged it as a hub on selling. So if you have a e-business suite, you have all the functionality associated with the hub. There may be some licensing that you need to talk about. I think data librarian portion probably a separate license, or maybe bundled enterprise. I'm not certain about that. But within the e-business suite context, you know, TCA forms the foundation for ERP, CRM, human resources, supply chain management, project management, and so on. If we go to the transactional level, if you look at, you know, whether they're invoices, accounts, quotes, service requests, or install base items, or contacts, contracts, campaigns, events, they're all tied to, at one or other level, to the entities that are part of TCA. And then you can understand the, you know, the magnitude of the impact of the doing TCA modeling correct, so that you could strike a balance across the board between CRM and financials and so on. Essentially, what is TCA? TCA is basically a trading community architecture. It's a bunch of tables called hazy tables, you know, go by prefix HZ. We call it hazy because very difficult to understand when you look at them first. And that forms the foundation on the bottom. And top of these tables is a, you know, PL SQL and Java APIs, as well as web services. And using this component, basically, there are various other tools, DQM and data librarian, for deduping or identifying the duplicates, and so that you know, you can carry out the merging of them when you see that they do, you know, they are the duplicates, and there is no reason to keep them separate. And by implementing TCA in a according to best practices model wise, you would be able to have a system of record for the customer data for which you could rely on across the enterprise. And other aspects of the TCA is a functionality called extensible data model. And using which, you know, all of you are familiar with flex field concept, where you can define some fields that Oracle does not provide out of the box. But if using extensible, you can go a step beyond flex fields. Flex fields are limited to, you know, single data value type of attributes. Using extensibility, you can go to multi-row format too. And I believe, you know, the functionality around that and the robustness is a lot more sophisticated. Then TCA also has integration, out-of-the-box integration with content providers, primarily right now today with Dun & Bradstreet, and I heard that there are other content providers in the works, and probably, you know, at a later point in time, we'll hear about those. And you can build your own integration of other providers. And one other element of the TCA aspect is to address validation using some of the data address data providers such as Trillium and First Logic. And both of them, I believe, have a out-of-box integration with Oracle TCA today. These are all, you know, part of TCA or customer data management or whatever way you look at it. Now, coming to, you know, we see this TCA in a way structurally, what are the different things involved in it? But how do we get our customer data into either a customer hub or e-business suite? Basically, speaking of that, we're talking about getting the data into TCD, you know, HZ tables. If you look at that, you know, the structure is, as we talked earlier, you know, on top of table C's APIs, PL, SQL, and Java. And traditionally, customer data has been at least perceived as that it's a, you know, financial is the owner, especially AR used to own the customer data in the context where, you know, in the past we used to have all siloed applications. You know, initially it used to be multiple applications, AR, GL separate, and then we have a integrated suite of financial modules, and then now we have integrated suite across the financial CRM and so on. So in the times where AR used to feel the ownership of the customer data, especially from the financial standpoint, within AR, you could get customer data into, you know, PCA using a customer standard form, or you could use a customer interface and get the data into that. The other part of it is I'm broadly labeling it as a customer data management group. Within that, you could do, there's a facility called bulk import using which you could get a lot of data. Not the entire set of data, but part of the customer data, and which I'll explain later. And customer online is a window to, you know, it's a user interface and very robust and does certain aspects, you know, better than Oracle's AR customer standard form. And there are aspects where, you know, we still have to rely on AR customer standard form even today. And then there are web services that you could use for the integration standpoint in a heterogeneous environment where you have customer data spread over across the enterprise at the global level, probably, you know, over multiple databases. So far, the biggest I've come across is a customer having 180 systems containing the customer data. So that's the biggest so far I heard. And they're not going to go away even after they implement the hub, which means, you know, they have a different set of challenges. And what we were talking today about TC is a very basic level. Once you get to the level of integration and you know, the implementation approaches, it gets very deep and complex. Then we also have, you know, the customer data management group developed something called common party UI components. That's not something you and I can use. Rather, it was meant to be used by all other products within eBusiness Suite so that as a user, we get a consistent and experience across the board. That's the purpose of that. We also have a simplified way of getting some customer data using a CSV file import, which piggybacks on bulk import. Another aspect of this DNV batch integration that comes out of the box, and you can purchase the data from Dun & Bradstreet and load it, or you can do it online, actually, in real time, from either Oracle AR or customer online. You can pull the data, can purchase the data, including a good set of 150 plus attributes associated with that particular, customer into Oracle TCA. And there is a sales group. Within sales group, you have something called eBusiness Center, telesales, and that's robust and it presents in a different way the same data, and you have certain capabilities from that. And there are other groups have their own interfaces, some of them. I'm not going to go into details of all, but this is the idea is to give, how many ways there is a possibility of interacting with the customer data within Oracle eBusiness Suite. And you can customize too. There are scenarios I've heard that, they, for some reason, they had to create their own user interface on top of this. Most likely scenario that happened is in the context of using an external application as opposed to within Oracle eBusiness Suite. So this is basically, gives you a gist of the how overall layout is, how, the data can get in, and so on. Now, coming to TCA, I said there are key entities that we want to understand and what exactly they mean, how that influences the overall, perspective of modeling the customer using TCA. The five key entities that I usually go is the parties, party relationships, customer accounts, locations, and contacts. And the parties probably is one of the discussion we focus, because this is term, it's getting more accepted and people understand what party means. But there were days parties is a new term and people used to see what exactly party means, how does that relates to TCE or customer. Let's go into more details. Basically, what exactly is a party, and in the context of a TCE or Oracle, or even in the general customer data management. In fact, this is an accepted term in a customer data management today, outside of the Oracle TC, whether you use Oracle or not. Party is an entity that exists regardless of your existence or regardless of your relationship with that entity. So, whether you're doing business with or not, the companies are there, people are there, they continue to exist and so on. So that's kind of loosely a definition of a party. But within the context of the Oracle, party also means a couple of other things. which is, you know, a relationship between two entities is also a party, which means, you know, if a person is an employee of an organization, that employee-employer relationship is itself a party. That's an implementation within the Oracle TCA world. Now, the fourth type of party is a group party, and the functionality around which is not available. You know, there's underlying groundwork has been done, and I've also seen some additional, values associated with that. I'm hoping some functionality is coming in release 12. Probably Indrajit can give us some scoop on that. So how do we create these parties, basically? You know, the person parties or organization parties are the ones that you create directly through interfaces or through user interface, on a batch or user interfaces. But relationship parties is not something that you create directly. Rather, it gets created indirectly behind the scenes every time you create a relationship or every time you relate to entities by whatever is the name you give to that particular relationship. Now, saying that, so party basically is a real thing that exists, such as a person or organization, basically represents a trading partner. That's how the trading community term originated. And a party has an authority to enter into business relationships and exists independent of any business relationship. And that's to reiterate that, you know, whether you're doing business with other entity or not, that entity continue to exist. And that's what I'm trying to convey here. And the other good aspect of it, that in the real world, there are relationships around entities are numerous, constantly changing, and so on. You know, a person could be an employee, could be a contact, and could be, you know, playing many other roles, or could be an influencer, and so on. And a person could be playing all of these roles in certain transactions, or probably in the context of different transactions. And you want to look into all those aspects of it. Actually, this brings to me one very interesting observation I have done at most of the clients that I've been to. Lot of times when they're implementing either e-business suite or customer data hub, the aspect that they focus is on the entities that they're currently dealing with. If it is financials, if it is CRM aspect, they want to also deal with the prospects. How do we deal with them? And they stop there. But truly, you need to go beyond that. You need to be able to identify every entity that plays a role in your business. First, chart the model, which I call trading community diagram for your company. You need to do that first. Once you do that, then you can make a decision of that. You know, this particular entity, this relationship, while it exists in a business, but for me to get that data, capture it, maintain it, is more expensive than not capturing it, and the benefits that comes out of capturing are very minimal. You know, you can do the justification and then forego some entities if you don't want to. But you want to start with capturing the entire trading community model, and I haven't seen that even in many of the large projects, even in the projects that some of the big consulting firms are involved in. The focus is always on entities that are relevant, which are primarily prospects and the customers. So that's something that I would like to bring to your attention, where you want to think about those. And the parties also can be modeled along the Dun & Bradstreet, the way they maintain the data about the entities. An interesting aspect about it is that today, Dun & Bradstreet assigns DUNS number for every entity and the location of that entity and a business line, which means a particular entity could have three business lines in the exact same building, could have three different DUNS numbers. Why is it relevant to TCR party? DUNS number is an attribute of a party. By that we mean, now, if you're creating a party and if you're an entity with three business lines with one location, ideally, if you want to maintain all the DUNS number, you're talking about creating three different parties here. Because if you do compromise and create one party to represent the entire entity, again, that's a different viewpoint. I'm not saying right or wrong in the context, but if you look from the DNB standpoint, DNB can only see one of the location associated with that, one of that, not all of them. In this case, it may seem to be that, okay, not significant because all having the same address, but only the DUNS number is different, you may be able to live with that. But in a context where the locations are different or there are some other differences that exist, that would play a little more significant role in terms of how you end up creating. Reason is that as DNB maintains the data at the entity, location, and business line level, There is a way to integrate the data from TCA to Dun & Bradstreet, and that linkage is identified only one of the location associated with the party can be seen by DNB, and which is labeled as identifying location. So if you have more than one location, since you can't label them all of them, and if you're trying to have an automated interface and update the data from DNB periodically, you are not able to update the data of all other locations except the identifying location. So that's something that you want to keep in mind. Now, party is something that can exist independent of an account. Parties can be classified. We have a bunch of old SIC classifications as well as NAICS. And all of these classifications, the value set has been seeded except the most recent NAICS. I think it's a 2002 version of the NAICS. The data set is not seeded. And I believe there are many places that you could get that data. And you can create unlimited cross-references to the source system. This is where the hub part becomes significant. In a scenario where we're talking about 180 systems having customer data, if you consolidate the data in the hub, this is the functionality you use to be able to cross-reference the customer identifier from those source systems to the hub so that you would be able to resolve the data or any interaction that has to happen between hub and other systems or other systems using the hub as a central system of record, source for system of record. Some of the key attributes of the party are organization name, party number or registry number, classification, DUNS number, and so on. And you can also have a number of employees, etc. Now, category code, that's one distinction I want to make about category code is that in the past, when you were comfortable using more in the financial context, you used to see two attributes, customer category code, customer class code. Once the TCS structure came into picture, the parties and accounts operation, they went two ways. The category code became an attribute of the party, and the class code became a part attribute of an account. And that distinction you want to understand, because once you have that understanding, then you can come up with the right classification. And a lot of times, every client that I walked into have never seen the classifications done accurately. The category code should be used to classify the entities without any relation to your business. You could use business indirectly, but probably to go with the more broader classifications, but generally you're talking about classifying the entity, not the relationship. When it comes to account, there's a customer class code, you do want to classify the relationship, which means account, so that you get the better meaning of that. And at the person level, we have a first name, middle name, and last name, and we don't have something like a DUNS number. If you choose to, you can capture social security number if it's applicable to you, but in the age of identity theft, I don't see anybody daring to capture that because, the onus of protecting that data falls on you. Some of the examples of parties are John Smith, Mary Smith, or Echo Consulting Services, or John Smith, an employee of Echo Consulting Services, which is a relationship party, or Smith family, which is a group party. We can't use this functionality at this time. Now, party relationships. Basically, party relationship is a binary relationship, by which I mean it's a relationship goes both ways. When I said John Smith is an employee of Echo Consulting Services, Echo Consulting Services is the employer of John Smith. So the relationship goes both ways, and that's what party relationships are. Always they are binary. You can look both ways, and you can label the relationship from the direction how you want to do. As an example, employee versus employer. You can label those relationship types. Then they could be intercompany, intracompany, non-business relationships, and they are reciprocal, the binary nature of that, and they're unlimited in number. There is absolutely no limit in terms of how many relationships you can capture. Oracle itself provides over 50 or 60 seeded relationship types. You can use them, and you can create your own relationship types and use based on appropriateness for your business. Now, again, examples, we talked about this, the employee-employee relationship and so on. The next entity is in accounts. Now, pre-TCA, what we have is called accounts, and that is what even today is an account. However, few elements of the old account are moved now to the party layer, where the primary thing is the entity name itself is not at account level, rather it's at the party level, basically. The party is the one that contains the account. And again, we talked about some of the classifications like SIC classifications or category codes and so on. And an account exists only when a selling relationship exists. Now, a lot of times I get a question that, so we have this customer, we signed a contract with them, they are not placed any order set, do we need to create an account for this customer? By all means, yes. Because by virtue of signing a contract, you kind of establish the selling relationship. It's a question of time before an order is placed. You want to go ahead and have an account at that time. And some of the key attributes of the account are basically an account number, account name, and I want to stress account name. A lot of times you may be tempted to use account name to put some kind of entity name or something, and you should not do, you know, you should need to, you know, avoid that. The account, if you have any compelling need to have some kind of entity name as an account name, you need to rethink your approach, because most likely you're not looking at an account, probably you're looking at creating another party rather. So, you know, account name is more or less an optional one. It should be more conventional. I'll give an example, say, a scenario where account number may be, you know, appropriate. Account number, account name, account class code. This is the one I was talking about, customer class code in the old, and you can still see today, AR standard form. The look and feel of AR standard form hasn't changed much, but behind the scenes, where the data goes has changed. And that's why, you know, a lot of times, so you may not necessarily realize the difference between these attributes. Now, an account cannot be created without a party, which means account is the child of a party and always created in the context of a party. Party can exist without an account, but account cannot. And examples of accounts are, you know, like I typically take a banking example. You walk into a bank, you open a savings account, checking account, or a money market, or investment. Each one has their own characteristics and has their own account numbers. You're the same person, bank is the same entity, but you have multiple relationships to that bank by opening multiple accounts. And why are these four accounts? Because each one has a different character. Checking, you can have unlimited withdrawals or deposits. It may not carry interest. Savings probably limits you how many withdrawals you can do, doesn't limit you how many deposits you can make, and has a better interest rate than checking. Money market may have a more on a robust interest rate than savings, and CD probably, you know, you cannot withdraw, no, you're tied to a term, and so on. So what this is telling us is that every unique relationship that you have with your customer, you end up creating one account. And this is an aspect that I was trying to bring. When I asked a question about multiple faces of your company, if you have a different brands or different subsidiaries, you know, you're completely independent one from other, but for some reason you've consolidated global instance, how do you look at? You should ideally have your, if both entities dealing with the same particular customer, ideally you're talking about having one party with multiple accounts kind of structure. So that's an example, good example, because, you know, there is no, from the business and operational standpoint, there is absolutely no tie-up between, you know, the transactions happening in one subsidiary versus other or one division versus other, and that's a good reason to keep multiple accounts. Now, a lot of confusion happens within implementations or e-business scenario is that CRM folks say the word customer, and they are usually referring to party entity because that's where most of the CRM functionality revolves around. When financial folks use the customer, they're referring to an account. And that's where when people realize, you know, what exactly is the customer? Is party is my customer or account is my customer? In reality, you know, the combination of both party and account is the true customer, basically. So party exists prior to the relationship. You can also say that if I have a prospect, I have a party. And once you convert the prospect into a customer, you create an account to transact with that customer. Now, locations. Locations, basically, it's an address in a geographic space, basically, and entities do often have more than one location. And this location becomes a site for the party. So from the architecture point, whether at the data model level or user interface level, you can associate any number of locations to a single party. But coming back to the point I mentioned earlier, DUNS number being an attribute of a party, and if you're trying to integrate the DNB, whether automate the updates to customer data, or if you're trying to automate some of your credit management policies and the decisions and so on, and you want to be up to date from the data from that, you need to think carefully in terms of, you know, creating multiple sites for a party. And usually I give one example in a scenario where even if you adopt this DNB-centric approach and still can create multiple sites to a party is, one, when a company has a PO box location, a PO box address, which is basically pointing to the same thing. It's a logical address mapping to that. It's not a real address, but a virtual one. And that one scenario, I would say, probably you could have that created as a second site for the party. And the second scenario I would usually say is that when a customer moved from location A to B, you inactivate location A and create a location B, even though both locations are not valid at same point in time, but they existed at a different time frame. So that's kind of one example I gave. Now, TCS structure prior to the establishment of a selling relationship. The key entities and of the things that we talked about is a party, and party can have one or more party sites, and between parties you can create any number of relationships, and a site can be designated as, you know, with a particular purpose. The site purpose could be, you know, oh, it is used for, you know, it's an executive location, or it could be a decision maker who stays there, or it could be a shipping location, billing location, and so on, or this is the location, you know, I need to send statements to, and so on. But there are multiple uses that you can assign to for a party site. Now, if I go back behind the scenes at the data model level, that translates into these entities. You have a party here, and then party sites, you know, one to many. And interestingly, the actual physical address of a location is not stored in the party site, rather it's stored in a separate entity called location. And the location ID becomes a foreign key in the party site. And what that tells us is that from the architecture standpoint, you can have a location sharing across multiple parties or sites if that's applicable. But from the user interface standpoint, that's not supported, basically. When you create a party site, you can use one location for one party under a single operating unit. You can associate the same... I'm going to the account layer. You can have one location created, and or you duplicate that location. If you create multiple locations, that's a different story. And again, keep in mind that only one of this location can be tagged, or party site tagged as identifying location for that particular party. Then you have a relationships that you can create, unlimited, that are classified by using a relationship type. So this is the overall entity structure prior to the, establishing a selling relationship. Now, once you establish a selling relationship, what do you have? Now, what we have a party layer, this is the account layer, we have a lot more things, you know. You have an account, underneath that account, you have account sites, you can capture contacts, communication points, payment methods associated with the account, bank accounts, account level relationships, profile class, and so on, you have site uses. At the account site level also, you can capture, contacts, communication points, and so on. Now, the interesting aspect of this is account relationships. How does that, compare to party relationships? Party relationship is a mechanism to identify the true relationships that you label between two entities, whereas account relationship is there from the historical standpoint with a different purpose. Two accounts can be related, and the purpose could be that one account can send checks to pay for the transactions associated with a different account. That's one. A second scenario would be that you have your shipping location belongs to one account and billing location belongs to other. You are trying to relate this and use on a transaction. That's another reason you use account. You should never ever try to build any kind of corporate hierarchy or that using account level relationship. They are not robust. Even though you can classify them using, there's a lookup value that can be set it, but it doesn't do any purpose or functionality. And you have a choice of one-way relationship or a bi-directional relationship. And hence, you should limit to account relationship only to the functionality that it is meant for. Never try to use that functionality for building hierarchies. If I go back behind the scenes, and I'm not looking at all the entities or the topic I talked about, but the core aspects of the entity is, now you have a party underneath party side. We looked at this side, and coming to this side is you have an account. So the structure, user interface, and everything does allow you and permit you to be able to create more than one account for the party. and account level relation one we talked about, and there is a relationship type you can classify, but this is not same as this. You want to clearly make the distinction between them. And account can have one or more sites from the user interface or design standpoint today. And if you look at the data model, when you're creating an account site, actually behind the scenes, a party is created, a party site is created, and a location is created. So what you have is location ID is a foreign key in party site, and party site ID is a foreign key in account site. Now, I'll bring up a one point here. Somebody asked about how does it work in a multi-arg environment. Now, when you look at this data, you know, up to here, this is all independent of multi-arg structure. The account site layer, this is the one that basically becomes operating unit specific. Now, what does that mean? If you have a specific location, account site, and you have multiple operating units, and you need to transact with that site, you are essentially creating two account sites pointing to the same location under each operating unit. Does that mean I have to create two party sites and two locations behind that? No, absolutely not. You can go through a list of values. If you created one account set under one operating unit, you can go to the second one, throw a list of values, you will be able to link to the same party site. So the benefit of that is that for some reason that location address has changed, you, by doing change once, you have reflected that in both places. However, what you cannot do is you cannot create an account site for a particular party that points to a party site of a different party. You only have a visibility to those party sites that are underneath the parent party which owns the account. That's the today's user interface limitation. And that very limitation poses major dilemmas and probably contributes to significant amount of discussions in terms of modeling. What's the best way to do it? There is a best practices model. There is a model that's conducive for the operational standpoint, financials, and I believe Oracle is working on that in terms of some methodology. I don't know when we will get it or how it is going to come into picture, but my understanding is that they are trying to overcome that scenario. Once we overcome that, TCA becomes the best of the best, whether you're an e-business suite, financials, or CRM, it doesn't matter. Nothing beats that. It's going to be very robust. Now, having spoken about the entities and models, I would talk about two approaches. Party-centric approach is one of them. In a party-centric approach, if we take a customer with three locations, you're essentially creating three parties, one for each location, and underneath that an account if you're transacting with that location, and create a site. And basically, party is a party site, account is an account site, these two are linked, and so on, these three parties you create. Now, if you take an example, if I take one customer with three locations create, and I'm using here AR screens, how does that look when you create according to that model? So I have a digital technologist, and when I queried that for these three locations, now you see six rows here showed up. The one that's all the way to the left without any value in this account field is a party, represent party, and the one that is indented and where you see some kind of account on a number here, customer number here is an account. So you have three parties, three accounts. By the way, I was shocked to hear at one of the very large client where Oracle Consulting, don't get me wrong, I'm sorry, but and some other independents were implementing, they were arguing that they cannot do party-centric model because they will not be able to create more than one account or create an account for an existing party. And that's not true. You can create an account for an existing party account combination. And the way you do is, if you leave the cursor on an indented row, which is an account, and click OK, it queries the party and an account, and then you can make changes to that. Whereas if you keep your cursor on the party row and click OK, now you're essentially the user is thinking that you're trying to add an account to an existing party. So you want to understand that distinction. And it's not clearly documented. And if going to the party relationships from the account standpoint, in this case, digital technology is the headquarters of other two locations. And if I go to the one of the division and query back and see, I see that you know, the other digital technology headquarters of this. In this case, since the name is exactly identical, the locations are different, and these two, you know, one is the headquarters and two are divisions, you know. So it looks very confusing when you see this data from here, but whereas if you go to customer online, use either a hierarchical model if you enable that, or if you go through, you know, the visual way of looking at the parties relationship, that is a lot more robust. Even the relationship data there, you know, looks different, basically. Now, I just to illustrate, you know, don't ask me why I labeled the crate here. You know, to illustrate that you can create a custom relationship, I just created something called credit that doesn't is not a seeded one, and I just, you know, created another relationship, you know, with one of the entities there, basically. Now, these are some of the seeded relationships. This is a very old screenshot, and currently, if you look at it, you know, you have a lot more, you know, seeded relationship types. Some of them probably not valid, some of them are anymore, and in their place, new ones are created. Now, coming to the second approach, which is called site-centric approach, and also commonly known as old AR model, in that, for the similar type of customer, you're creating one party, three party sites underneath that, one account, underneath the three account sites, you know, site, account site one mapped to party site one, and account site two mapped to party site two, and so on. So that's another model, a different school of thought. And the general tendency in the any e-business suite implementations is if you're a financial one, even today the tendency is to go with the site-centric approach. And there are reasons to go for that. You know, it's not about modeling choice or anything, but the reasons is that this model is even today more conducive within the financial world. And that situation is changing, and there is more and more functionality is being added, enhanced to make that more conducive for the party-centric approach. Now, if I take an example customer called, you know, Napier Haynes. Now, when you query in a party-centric for three locations, you saw six rows. Here now you saw four. One is a party, and other three are three different accounts under three different locations, all having the same customer number. So that's the way the difference how it looks like. And if I open up, it doesn't matter whichever row that I'm their account, row their location. When I open up, I'll see all three locations, and then you manage that. And basically, these are the two, you know, approaches on the two extreme side. I have seen that many times, you know, people compromise and go sometimes somewhere in between. It's very difficult today if you're using financial to be on the party-centric approach. Not that, you know, you can make it work, but it poses its own operational challenges. But party-centric model is probably more futuristic model. When you think from the perspective of the customer data quality issues and challenges and duplicity, the party-centric model is more conducive to be able to address many of those things. Whereas the site-centric model will allow you to, you know, operationally more easy in the financial world today, but does not solve most of the issues surrounding the customer data quality, duplicity, and maintenance and those aspects of it. So that's where the dilemma comes into the picture of how do you balance it. You know, and again, once we get the location sharing or some of that similar functionality from Oracle in the future versions, that would allow us to, you know, do the best possible model from both aspects of it. You know, you can have the ideal best practices party-centric model, which takes care of many of the challenges associated with managing the customer data. And operationally, you can manage, you know, account layer, which is conducive for the business. My opinion is that in a model, we should be able to create one and only one account to represent one relationship. If today, if you go to party-centric model, you cannot do that. You end up creating multiple accounts. That's where the challenge is. So with that, I would end my session today, and we can go, you know, Q&A later on once all the panel members completed. Right? That's the model we are going to take.
Perfect. Thank you.